they let you post something and then add a song to it, though.
Yeah, but I like to play music throughout. Like, TikTok allows you to play any music, no license, images, all of that craziness, whatever.
So you can play the song and be like, I don't own the rights to this song.
You don't have to do that on TikTok.
But you can do that on
this. But you have to do it on Facebook and all the other platforms. So that's why I love TikTok.
Suckbook.
But that's why my TikTok be live. When I go live every morning, when I get on, people are very interactive. So like I said, the lady, I believe her name is Shauna, and she in New Orleans. So, all right. So this is the very first time that we are in the same room.
Yeah.
It's been a long time because there's definitely been a lot going on. Basically, it's an open conversation to talk about celebrating you. And you all don't know, but Greg just had a birthday.
Yeah, 38 years old now, man.
38 degree. All right. I'll be there next year. It'll be here before you know it. 37. Right. It'll be here before you know it. But I just want to talk about celebrating, you know, you and celebrating those around you, because in this world, in this society, there's a lot of people that glorify people that they don't really know.
Right. Jason Cloud.
Yeah. So a lot of people really glorify people that they don't really know. Right now, one of my favorite platforms is TikTok, because I'm very good with playing music and being interactive with people from all over the world. And TikTok is just a blast. So sometimes I can get a little bit lazy and not post in certain places, but it's a discipline. Trust me, it really is a discipline. So when I say celebrating your people, it's really celebrating you and those that are around you, because those are the people that's going to bring you up in life. The right people that's around you, let's take that back. The right people around you are the ones that's really going to lift you up. We've all had run-ins with friends, family members, whatever the case may be. Whereas, you know, things got rocky, things may have gotten better, but then sometimes it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I've been there, I've done it. I'm sure Greg has. Trust me, I lost friends since Yay High, Sandbox, all of that. And I'm okay. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
friends and family.
Hey, one thing about me is I don't allow people to treat me a certain way, and you shouldn't either. There's a lot of people on TikTok that reach out to me via DM and, you know, have personal conversations and talk about certain things about the way people treat them because of how active they are or how big-hearted they are. And that can be a really that could really put you down in a bad space a lot of times, because it's like you want to do everything for everyone around you within your power if you can, because hey, that's who you are. You're an empath. It goes that way. That's who you are. But yeah, think about those times when it's your time and you're down. Who comes running for you?
Nobody. That's why they say check on your strong friends, because Ain't nobody there checking for them, man.
You know? I'm a strong friend and family member. Like, it's crazy because you can be crossed by so many people, and you can try again, 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 and you get the same result. But then you get to a point where you like, stop.
Don't even want to try no more.
You don't even want to do it. And you come to that point because you reach a breaking point where it's like, okay, what do I do now? But in my scenario, I wait and I watch people and I allow them to show me if they gonna come for me like I came for them.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10,
they don't, or they won't. And they make excuses.
There's nowhere to be found.
They make excuses. Why?
But let you go 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 months, 9 months without calling them. They'll be the first one to tell you, oh, you ain't no real friend. Oh, you ain't no real this. You ain't like what?
You don't mess with me no more.
Like, people go through things all the time. You have to allow people to balance their own life out at certain points. Like, I have friends that I probably could talk to maybe once a year, and they live in other places. And everybody just don't have the same schedule. Everybody life change, everything is different. You just have to figure it out. But that don't mean that I'm not going to like you or I'm going to hate on you.
We ain't not friends no more.
Yeah, or we not friends no more. Like, it's life. Life be lifing.
Some people you could go a whole year without not talking to, and you could talk to them a year later and y'all pick up where y'all left off.
Yeah. I have friends like that I went to college with. I hadn't spoken to them for years. And they knew that I moved from the West Coast, and they knew I moved back home to the East Coast. And last year I did a cross country trip, and I saw majority of the people I haven't seen. And it was nothing, no bad words, nothing to harm each other. Oh, I ain't heard from you. You ain't done X, Y, and Z. That's just how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me turn that radio down because this thing probably in the video.
I thought I heard something. I wasn't sure. I was like, why the fuck that shit? I was like, it's coming from the closet.
I heard it from the microphone. Yeah, it's a little radio. You know, old school folks, when they do laundry and everything else, it needs something playing. But, okay, how many friends do you have from high school that you still talk to now?
We're
in graduation season, so this is gonna be a good lesson for some of my mentees too, because they think I'd be lying.
Oh yeah, so I mean, when you say friends, like as far as seeing them or just keeping contact, like communication, like what do you consider that?
Either or.
I mean, quite a few. I mean, we're coming up on our 20-year class reunion, so I mean, I would say about 100 people, probably. Maybe
you know 100,
more or less. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. So I say that to say,
and that's only because of social media. If it wasn't for social media, then I mean,
that's true. Okay, so let's say people that you speak with throughout the year or see
outside of social media,
right?
Including you too.
See?
Yeah, that's it.
And mine is my circle of friends that we done been to elementary school, middle school, and high school with. And it's probably about a good 6 or 7. Everybody else, it's great to see them on social media. You know, I see them around town sometimes. Some of them have kids now, so we, you know, see them in certain programs. I'm involved in community service, so yeah,
sporting events. That's why I'd be crazy to see if this internet apocalypse really happened. Like, we don't have no internet communication for, even if it just happened for a day.
I'd be happy.
It'd be interesting to see how many relationships there would be, or how many friendships would maintain through the dark time, I guess, whatever they're gonna call it. But life be life, and so it's like you can't expect to see these same people all the time, every day, all day.
Right. And I say that because there's a lot of students that are in middle school and high school, and they worry a lot about their friends.
About losing their friends,
their friends not talking to them, their friends being mad at them. And my thing is, I understand that I was a little bit different because I had my father in my life, and kind of built me towards like not really caring what people said or thought about me at that time. Not saying that it wasn't hurtful or people didn't try to mess with me or whatever the case may be, but it didn't bother me as much because the one thing that my father told me was, I remember him dropping me off for orientation for ninth grade. And I remember getting out of the truck. And then next thing he said was, wait. And I turned around and I walked back to the truck and he was like, I want you to remember this. He said, these 4 years are going to be the fastest 4 years of your life. And I was like, I was confused. And I was like, I'm like, Pop, I got 4 years. Like, this is about the same like forever. What you mean? Like 4 years of high school. But when I tell you, I felt like we went from ninth grade to 11th grade to senior year. And you know why? Because we had fun and we always had practice. Mm-hmm. And summers, it wasn't no summer. Yeah. Football 2-a-days, weight room, watching film, whatever the case may be.
I had a job. I had to work.
And I couldn't work. My mother wouldn't even allow me to work, even when I could work. So that was my biggest drawback. All my other friends had jobs.
I started working before I even graduated from high school. I started working. I was like 14 or 15. When I was early enough to get a work permit, I was at work.
One summer, I was able to work. I want to say it was 11th grade. It was 11th grade. I worked at Six Flags. One summer.
My first job was at Chuck E. Cheese. Well, no, take that back. I worked a summer enrichment program in Atlanta for the Atlanta Workforce Development. But when I moved out here, my first job was Chuck E. Cheese. Though. I was a cashier. And then they tried to make me the rat. I hated it. The rat, the mouse, the Chucky.
They want you to get in the costume?
Yeah. I did it one time. All these little kids was kicking me and punching me. I was like, that's when I was like, well, these little kids is bad. And I told them never again.
Wow. So you was Chuck E. Cheese before?
Yeah, I was Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah, I was Chuck E. Cheese before, dog.
Oh, man.
Never again.
Yeah, I probably would have went home. At that point, the job would have been
gone. And I told them, I was like, I'm not trying to do that no more. And they asked me why. I told them, I guess the kids was hitting me. And then my manager looked at me like I was stupid. I was like, I sound crazy because I'm a big guy saying kids was hitting me.
Right. Nah.
But he was looking at me crazy like, they're just kids. I'm like, nah, he's not just kids, man. He's just.
Nah. Them kids know what they don't.
Yeah.
My cousin was scared of Chuck E. Cheese when we used to go there. Because they used to have a full stage, and all of them used to be playing. So I don't know
it's how still it like that, man. You know, I got kids. So I'll be at Chuck E. Cheese. But it's still a full stage, but it ain't live no more. They like robots, kind of. So they like half. Well, it might be the full body. But they don't move, though. Like, their heads turn. That's about it. And I think they mouth move. But other than that, I ain't seen no Chuck E. Cheese, though. Last time I seen Chuck E. Cheese was, we had a party for my son's birthday. Like, he turned like 2 or 3, and they had him come out. But after that, I ain't seen Chuck E. in Hope.
Yeah, he looked different now. That's not the original Chuck.
Nah, Chuck E. look like he been on Weight Watchers or something, man. Like, he ain't.
I didn't know what that was when I saw the symbol. I was like, what is that?
Chuck E.
He's like, oh, that's the new Chuck E. Cheese. I said, oh, okay.
I guess they tried make them healthy.
So you taking your kids to Chuck E. Cheese TikTok, you know what the original Chuck E. Cheese look like, especially if you got a kid by now.
It don't hit the rat, okay? It's not nice.
Well, we could say that in real life then too,
there's
right?
There's a human under there. We not talking about snitches. That's a whole different topic. Snitches.
Keep your hands to yourself. No matter what.
Snitches get stitches.
No matter what. Keep your hands to yourself. No rats. In the physical form. Oh, that's great. I don't know if I could have did that. It'd have been over.
What? Snitches get stitches?
No, getting in a costume for Chuck E. Cheese. It'd have been over for me. I like they really would have knew who I was that day. No, I got to go.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I think that's probably the most outlandish thing I've ever done at work, or for work, honestly. It's dressed up in a costume.
Yeah, I never had a costume situation for work.
I'm trying to think. Was any other bizarre situation? Nah, just Chuck E. Cheese in the rat suit.
Yeah. But that was, you know, you having a job, being responsible, trying to make some money.
Yeah.
I was being held back from making money at an early age. I wish I could. All my friends, they had to buy their own stuff. Well, they got a chance to buy their own stuff. And you had to.
It was probably more so because you had both your parents. So, you know, I was in single.
Yeah, but they wasn't giving me what I needed.
Well, they're just giving you what they thought you should.
My
have.
Aunt bought me shoes, so I always had a pair of Jordans. Every time
you had the necessities, that's all that.
And now you sound like my father.
I'm just saying, we just talking about, we just looking back.
Think about when we went to high school. That was that enough?
Well, a pair of Jordans? Hell yeah, that was enough. I'm trying to think. Did I have Jordans?
Clothes.
Well, see, back then it wasn't the same because back then you could have some Arizona jeans on. You was clean with some Arizonas. You can't wear Arizonas now.
Yeah.
Like, they used to see the brands that was popular back then, not really popping out. Like, it used to be, what was Arizonas, Baby Fat, Fat Farm, FUBU.
Where we had the local stuff.
Shooters, Sabiato.
Sabiato. What? The other brand, I think only had like two things from them. But they were expensive. But I got that from money that I got from my godparents for my birthday. So I used, what was the name? It was in Forestville Mall.
It was a store?
Yeah, it was a store. Makuna. That's what it was called.
Oh, yeah. Makuna. Makuna. I remember
that was fire. Yeah. Makuna was fire. So I like Makuna. And then, of course, we all knew the guy who owned Shooters because he was basically, his shop was basically next to our church.
Them girls back in the day, he was wearing a pair of Suco jeans, though, man.
Oh, and Nelly with the apple bottles.
Yeah, man.
I seen somebody. Matter of fact, when I went to Atlanta, I seen somebody in a pair of apple bottles. I was like, I ain't seen these days in decades.
She probably got them out.
I was like, yeah, you got, no, she had them for some years. Where would you buy another pair of them? I haven't right, even man, seen them in the store.
Apple bottle, I mean, you could probably order some offline, Amazon.
I don't know.
I don't think nobody selling them. It'd be hard to find them.
I haven't seen them. But back to the agenda of my mentees not believing me when I say, when you walk across that stage, a whole new life began. And one thing that two of my mentees said that I was waiting on one of them to say the second year around, I think it was 2020 when COVID happened, when they graduated 2020. And they got to college for their first semester. And I'm working on the ebook for surviving your first semester of college. So just wait. It'll be done in July.
I'm an expert at surviving college.
No, we're not gonna talk about that one right now. But surviving your first semester of college, because I allowed them to transition into college on their own. I supported them. Once again, shout out to my community who got all of their stuff sent to campus by Amazon. I can't tell you enough how much it means to have people who went to college, whether it was your college or not, because some of them didn't even go to your college that you attended, and you still sent them everything that they needed for their dorm room. Nobody had to ship stuff, nobody had to drive stuff and be cooped up in the car. Trust me, I did that with my mother, and that was terrible. Everything, even people used to have the they used to be sold out. The U-Haul,
I'm trying to remember how
the little hitch U-Haul. How'd you get to college?
I think I was cooped up in the car too, though.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly, I'm trying to think. Because I remember my mom taking me, but I don't remember how I got the stuff there. But I think it was in the car, though. Yeah. There wouldn't have been no other way.
I'm sure it was stuffed up in the car. And I can't stand that. Like,
I think she had a minivan though, so I don't think it was too stuffed. But
even still,
big shout out. It was a long ride though.
Big shout out and thank you to all of my family members, because we don't have fans here. I call them family members throughout the Rose Project, because all of you have sent those dorm room supplies, bedding, sheets. I mean, they had more stuff than I've ever had in college. And y'all don't even know these kids. But that just lets me know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do to make sure they're taken care of. Like, a lot of them had everything that they needed on their list. Now, I'm going to say a lot of them mostly had. They had everything on their list from their Amazon list. And you all fulfilled that order in no time. Like, it was there the same week. So, like I said, I'm forever grateful for that. But I want them to understand that, just like I said, I was waiting for them to say a certain thing. Two of them said it. One of them said it, who went to Kentucky State, and the other one said it, who went to Morehouse, who's going to Morehouse. They graduated in 2024. They were so confused when they were in their first semester of college. They said they felt like the last 12 years of their life was a waste, because they felt like they had to unlearn and relearn stuff that they learned before. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is. College was easier than high school. What about you?
I like the freedom of it. You know what I'm saying?
So you wanted to party?
No, it wasn't so much I didn't want to party. I wasn't really a partier. I was into my books and things like that. I just more so was there and enjoying the freedom. Mm. Like, I was able to come and go as I pleased. You know what I'm saying? I ain't had to worry about nobody tracking me or figuring out when I'm going to be home, calling me. Nah, I ain't had them issues. And then my mother, you know what I'm saying? She was 4 hours away, however many hours away. Well, she might have been in Atlanta. I don't really remember. It's all kind of cloudy. But I just like the freedom of it. Just being able to make my own decisions within reason.
Wow.
The parties were cool.
We did party, so I ain't gonna lie about that. We probably party every day.
And I tried to pledge Greek or whatever, try to get a little frat, but that wasn't for me, man. I mean, it was an adjustment, because I did have to learn how to be a little bit more responsible. Because I was seeing that I'm hanging out all night, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I missed my assignment. You know, I'm waking up early trying to do work, or I'm staying up after I done drink all night trying.
So there you go, time management.
Yeah, definitely got to be on your time management.
That's one of the biggest things that's going to be in it, is time management.
And just try to stay focused. And doing what you know you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Because it's easy to just be like, I'll do it later. And then later become, I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow, I'll do it next week.
But see, that worked for some people. Like me, it works for me. Like, I know how bad I procrastinate.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got deadlines that are like a week apart. And you know, you could.
A week don't do it for me. 24 hours. Me cramming is the best work you will ever get from me.
Well, yeah, I've done that though.
The best.
Sometimes it'd be hard to remember what you learned last week. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, not for me. Because I mean, I was good at taking notes. Because one thing we always had to do was write notes from a projector in high school, which I hated, because I felt like we weren't really being taught anything. We were just taking notes during class, and then we had to go figure it out on our own.
I can't even tell you how I learned in high school. Can't tell you.
Well,
I was there though, but I can't tell you.
I just feel like school just gives you the basics. But I think when you get to high school, I think it's a really pressuring situation, because they put so much pressure on you about going to college and what to expect. But it was much more of an easier transition for me than anything. I was like, this is a breeze. So I think I had class like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I had one 8 a.m. class before, and I will never do that again.
I think all my classes started at 8 a.m.
See, that's where you fail. Yeah. You try to go back to high school. When I was in there with the counselor and doing my schedule, and they was like, oh, you can do this class from 11:15 to 12:45. I was like, huh?
Yeah. But see, I would have classes like 8 a.m. and then I wouldn't have another class at like 1.
But see, that's a big gap. Yeah. So what did you do in between from 8 to 1?
I don't think I can say it on this youth radio. I don't think they want to know. I mean, they probably already doing it themselves. I ain't trying to be no bad influence.
Okay, we're not going to go there. But he was.
But good. I ate good. I'm saying I had the school I went to had like I say some of the best cat food I've ever had because I mean they had a large variety of everything. I mean you could get chicken, fish, salad,
a whole buffet spread.
And the thing I would say is about the school I went to though, they did offer like extracurricular activities that you know you didn't have to play a sport to be involved in some type of extracurricular. They had a lot of community events. And then the school I went to, too, was an agricultural school. So they had, like, horses and cows and, like, farms and things like that. So there were other things to take your mind off of school. And it was kind of in the middle of nowhere because, like, the nearest McDonald's was, like, 3 miles away. So, I mean, it was a small town. There was like 2 traffic lights and that was it. There was like literally like 1 store, a gas station, and like a pizza shop.
Maybe
like a CVS.
Wow.
So like if you ain't had no car out there, you was like done for. And there was no Uber or Lyft back then. That's crazy, right? Crazy. We talking about less than 20 years ago. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? 20 years later.
We were carpooling.
Right.
If you didn't have, on the back of somebody's truck.
If you didn't have that, man, listen, you better hope that your family sent you a care package every once a week, 2 weeks, because you needed it. Because it wasn't nowhere to get your favorite snacks from, for real.
Yeah. So y'all didn't have a late night snack bar or that?
Nah, there was no Uber Eats. There was no DoorDash.
Well, we know that. We ain't in that generation. But they didn't have nothing on campus that was like late night snacks and nothing.
Nah, after the calf closed, that was it.
Oh, whoa.
You had to have like your own, like literally like commissary. Like people had to ship you stuff. Like we was upstate. I was in SUNY Mooresville. So anybody ever heard of SUNY Mooresville? It's upstate New York, like between, somewhere between like Buffalo and Syracuse. So like yeah, there was nothing. So mom had to send me my box macaroni cheese. That was back when we had the macaroni. Well, it still got it. You put the macaroni cheese in the
water in the container.
Yeah, put it in the microwave. You had to bring your own microwave.
Oh yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying? My roommate was nuts. Oh, that's another thing too. Before y'all go off to school, get to know some of these roommates, okay?
Well, you can't always do that though, because they match you with somebody before you get there. It's different now though, because nowadays they text the kids if they got a class and they know they're gonna be in the same class or dorm room. They have a text thread now.
Nah.
So they get to know each other before they get on.
So they did send me my roommate's information. So this is back then when you literally had to.
I didn't even get that.
So they sent me my roommate's information. He was cool, white boy named George. What's up, George? If you watching this, what's up, my guy? But he was cool though until I met his girlfriend. Oh. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, he didn't change, but it was just like my eyes just got wide open. So I was like, "Dad, this is what y'all do." Like they would like literally drink until like they pass out.
That's their culture though.
It was a Saturday. And I ain't gonna lie, kind of spooked me though. Kind of like had me uncomfortable though. It was a Saturday. And I was in my room trying to prepare for a test. And he dropped a girlfriend off in the room. And I'm like, you just gonna leave her here? She drunk.
By herself?
Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 no. He wouldn't have left. I was no, like, sir. He would have left her. First of all, this and that.
Exactly.
She so wouldn't have been there by herself.
I was like, bro, you just gonna leave her like that? He was like, yeah, she's cool, bro. She's cool. Don't worry about it. I'm like, all right. So I ain't worried about it because I was like, man, I gotta get this. You know what I'm saying? I gotta get ready for this test. Mm. Man, I would say not even 5 minutes later, I just hear this noise. Like, and I'm looking, I look over. And the girl is asleep, passed out, thrown up.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, I'm calling her. I'm like, dude, I'm like, if they can't. First of all, she didn't even go to the school. That was first off. I don't know if it was against the rules or not, but she didn't go to the school.
It is.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm like, dude, she ain't here throwing up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the RA find out about this, like, y'all got beers in here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't even pull it. Like, and I wasn't no hot boy because I was, you know, been doing my little, but, you know, I was just like, man, you got to come get her, dog. I was like, I ain't about to leave her because I don't know if she, you know what I mean, she could probably die.
That's drown. A lot.
But I was like, bro, once you get here, bro, I got to leave.
But where did he go?
He went back with the bros and finished drinking.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm saying. They was somewhere, and this, it was like the middle of the day. I'm like, they was somewhere drinking. And I'm just like,
yeah, he should have left her where they was at.
I was like, dog, how you just drunk early in the day? Didn't even it's the afternoon. I'm drinking natty lights.
Mm.
Back then, we drinking out of kegs and all type of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So,
no keg drinking for all my college mentees. No, don't do that.
But yeah, though, man. I mean, he was a cool dude because we got to know each other. We got to talk a little bit. But man, please get to know y'all roommates. Like, if they give you the information, please call that person.
Especially, but how do you think you was going to stop that, though?
Stop what?
From him doing what he was doing just by... But you met him on the phone, so what would be the difference?
Nah, but see, it was kind of like I didn't really want to talk to him on the phone. Like, it was kind of forced. So had I got to know him a little bit, man, I probably would have been a little bit more prepared for what I was going to get.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But when I met him, he seemed like he was all right, though. You know what I mean? He didn't seem overly prejudiced or racist or anything. Like, he didn't seem overly redneckish or nothing like that. So I'm like, all right, be cool. I don't even remember where he was from. But he was cool, though. You know what I'm saying? So we ain't really had no cultural problems, no issues. You know what I'm saying? He did his work. I did my work. He was quiet. I was quiet. And we had different friends, so it was just like when it was time to go our separate ways, we went our separate ways. And there was nobody hanging over, being overstaying their welcome. The girlfriend came, you know what I'm saying? I had my little bitties in and out, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But not to the extent where they was throwing up for being drunk.
But see, you felt you was in an uncomfortable situation. See, that wouldn't happen. Because I already seen enough, especially I think we were in high school when some football players got in trouble for having a white girl in their, I don't think it was a frat house. They were somewhere on campus. And then the girl, she couldn't remember. We were in high school. I can't remember. But my father showed me.
I had a situation too with this she was an other. She wasn't like this one. She was like another one. I don't want nobody to say I'm hating them being, so I ain't even gonna say what she was. But
she international?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She's international.
Like the ones that work in the nail salons and stuff like that.
She Asian.
Yeah. Listen. I thought my life was gonna be over. Like, she was overly drunk, like stupid drunk. And I'm glad though, because I'm not glad, but her roommate had witnessed everything. So that kind of saved me. But man, listen, Don't be going home with these dorm rooms with these girls and they drunk, man.
And drinking.
Just wait
as till a freshman just, on just, campus. Yes,
just wait till the next day, bro.
And being around because people or hanging around friends. Because I've had mentees in that situation.
She might lie and she might not remember what happened. And then she'll call and tell the police anything. And they'll come looking for you. And you better have a good excuse to what happened. Or some witnesses. So it's like I had a witness and saved me.
But also sometimes the witness could turn on you. I've had that happen with one of my mentees.
Well, she was one of us, so I guess she ain't want to see me.
Oh, they was one of them too.
Yeah, she ain't want to, I guess.
And it's ironic because it happened to somebody of that descent as well.
Yeah. It was kind of crazy because I was like, damn. But then after the fact, though, I was told by campus police, was like, oh, this ain't the first time this happened.
With her. Oh, no.
She's known for sleeping around with mostly athletes and things like that. So she got me, bro. She got me. But I ain't never had no Taekwondo before. So I was just, you know what I'm saying?
But the message is, this is why you have to be responsible. You have to think on a higher level.
And listen to people like us because we've been there before and we did it.
Oh, yeah.
So we know, you know what I'm saying, the message to put out there. You know what I'm saying? Just be careful, man. Just think twice before you do it. Just think about it. How would this look to the police? Or how would this look to my parents? You know what I'm saying? Like,
and you're not going to always do everything
that
your parents don't want you to do. Trust me. I told y'all before, I'm not going to act like I was a goody two-shoe when I was on campus. There were a number of things that I've done in my day that were situations where I could have gotten in trouble, but we just didn't get caught. And I think with my situation, there were a number of people that looked like me that I hung out with all the time. And we had a huge group because we started in the summertime. But strangely enough, before I went to a HBCU, I actually went to a Christian school. Matter of fact, I just passed it. And I didn't pass it, but I was in that vicinity this weekend. But however y'all want to say it or they say it now, we called it Shawan College, and I think it's Chowan University now.
How's it spelled?
Chowan.
Oh, that's Shawan.
Chowan.
Yeah.
However we said it back then. And it's funny because when I got the call to go there and visit, and be offered a partial scholarship, this is that and the third. When I finally got on campus, Andre was there.
What is school at?
Murfreesboro, North Carolina. You probably never heard of it.
No, I had. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
You probably heard of Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
No, I heard of Shawan though.
You said
Andre, when they talking about Andre
Ballard.
Yeah, big black dude, right?
Yeah,
that's probably why it sounded for me.
Yeah, so Andre was there, and I can't remember if I seen him across campus in front of a dorm. I think I seen him across campus in front of a dorm room when we first got there, and I was surprised, but I was a little bit more relieved because I was nervous about going away to college, even though I was away, but then it was somebody familiar. But then also, it was other athletes there that we played with in our league in high school. So Adam Powers was one of them. He went to Potomac, and it was just...
You said this was a Christian school?
Mm-hmm. Well, it still is, but
what made you go there?
They offered me a scholarship, and it was... a lot of things going on at that time.
I about to say, it probably was a lot of stuff going on.
It was a lot going on.
That school was probably lit. I can imagine all the little Christians.
But even though we was in the country, we still had access to, like, well, So one of our friends had a car, so we could go anywhere in town, grocery store, all that. But what was the other thing that I wanted to say? The late night, we had a late night snack bar, but that closed at like 11 p.m. Maybe close to midnight, but 11 p.m. But sometimes, because we were athletes or whatever, the ladies who knew we were coming, like after practice or weight room or whatever, they will always have our plates wrapped up and have them set out to the side. And they just used our counter. So that was a good thing. But I couldn't imagine being without food late night in a city where McDonald's 3 miles away.
Yeah, I don't really remember how I did it, but I know I did it.
Yeah, because it was a challenge.
And I think I might have been taking to-go plates from the cab too, though, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was wrapping shit up. I mean, I'm sorry. I was wrapping sandwiches up in paper towels and stuff like that. And put them in my bag. I mean, it was hard, man, because it was like everything, you couldn't put everything in the microwave.
No, you couldn't.
You know what I'm saying? Like popcorn, TV dinner, stuff like that, but like, man, some of the stuff I did in high school or college, I needed a whole meal after I got done doing.
That's right.
So,
full meal to gain back that energy because it was rough. But I knew what I had. I had at least some chicken strips and some onion rings.
Well, eventually I got cool with some girls off campus who lived off campus, and they had cars and they
apartments.
Had freezers full of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like on the weekends, they'd be like, oh, I'm about to ride to Walmart. You want to ride with me? I'm like, yeah, I'm about to walk to your house. And then, you know what I'm saying? Ride to Walmart be like a half hour. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah.
It'd be good to get out and see what's around you, because I wasn't too far from like Niagara Falls and places like that.
Right.
And had I had,
I'm still trying to get there,
more friends and more exposure, I probably would have seen it, done it. A lot of my classmates in college was getting in trouble for running across the border. They was going across into Canada. This was like a weekend thing. Like,
how'd they get in trouble? You couldn't go.
I mean, they were sneaking. Like, they were in what you needed.
They weren't Americans.
They was Americans, but it wasn't like you supposed to get in the car and get them to go through the border. They was doing some other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you need a passport. You probably need a passport.
You need a passport. I don't know what the rules were back then.
Yeah, but they didn't have, I think you always needed a passport. They didn't have a passport. And they was like, you could come too, man. We could. I'm just like, nah, bro. I was like, y'all can probably do that. But me, nah. They might keep me. So it's all good. Y'all go ahead.
Yeah, they might keep
me. Yeah, like, y'all go ahead. Y'all do that. You know what I'm saying? I'll hear the stories about it. But I mean, a lot of them were doing it too, because I think, I guess it was a town like right over the border that was like pretty cool and laid back, where they can get cigarettes and things like that without being carded. You know, back then you had to be like 18.
Right.
And then they raised the age to 21. So a lot of us was like, you know, 17-year-olds out on our own for the first time. And it was kind of like crazy. It can be a culture shock too, though, especially if you've never been around anybody but your own type of people. So when you get to college, depending on where you're going, if you're not going to HBCU, I mean, you got Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, and it's like you're kind of getting to know people all over again, because these people have different cultures, different religions, different backgrounds.
Yep.
Different vernaculars, different slangs, you know what I'm saying? If you say something that is usually cool with your Black friends to somebody who's not Black, it can start a whole issue. I had to really, me, myself, I really had to learn how to get along with people all over again, because I was kind of used to being the only child for a while. Like, I had a younger sister, but I had to get used to sharing space with somebody that I didn't even know, because that was one of the other things that was kind of weird. It was like, too, like, bro, this dude farting here, bro, it's over with. You know what I'm saying? If I pass gas in here, it's over with. You know what I'm saying? Then you gotta keep yourself tidy because you don't want to be living with somebody and your whole half of the room look like a mess. You know what I'm saying? And then it was you gotta walk down the hall to the bathroom. That was one of the things that I probably didn't like the most. Having to share a bathroom. Like it would have been okay if there was a one bathroom inside the room and I had to share the bathroom with my roommate. But we had to share the bathroom with the whole floor.
Yep.
But I will say when I got to Clark Atlanta for like the one semester that I was there, it was pretty cool because
you had the HBCU experience. You was there.
Because it was in New Res.
You know what's funny? I had one semester at Delaware State. So what's the odds of that?
It was New Res, and you had six people to an apartment. It was kind of crazy though.
Six people?
Yep. It was like a duplex apartment. So it was like you walk in, and this was like the living area. It was like the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a door and a door. So you go on one side, there's a kitchen and three rooms and a bathroom. And on the other side, there's a kitchen, three rooms and a bathroom.
Mm.
The rooms were probably the size of probably everything from that column to this corner. This is how big the rooms were.
That's a big room.
No, from that column, this column, from there to this wall.
Oh, with two beds?
No,
one.
In Clark Atlanta, it was just one bed. One twin bed in a room like this.
Mm.
So you had a bed, your desk, and a closet, and then, of course, you had to bring your own TV and shit. But, I mean, it was cool. I didn't make it out of that because it was too close to home. So I was doing...
So you was off campus, but you was on campus.
Yeah.
So your brain wasn't on campus.
Nah, my brain
was on the streets in the lab.
Yeah, because I was home. You know what I'm saying? So I should have.
So do you think that people who live in their city should go to their home school or go away?
It just depends on what type of student you are. That's my opinion on it. I mean, if you're somebody who you know, like, if you know yourself, like, first, be true to yourself, first of all. Like, if you know that you might have a hard time focusing or you may lack discipline or you know that you have, like, say, like, you go to college and your best friend don't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And you know your best friend, you know all the band players, know all the go-go, you know what I'm saying? Like, your right. friend be out in the streets. So, like, if you know you're going to want to link up with your best friend all the time and have to deal with distractions, you need to go away. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're a person that's kind of introverted, you don't have a lot of friends, you don't want to leave your parents, all right, cool, go to PG College. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But if you just got to know yourself, you know what's better for yourself, like, look at all your options, weigh your options, and make the best decision for yourself.
Yeah,
some people go away from home and they have separation issues. They don't even know how to live life on their own.
That's true. I had a number of them return back home because they couldn't live away from home.
Yeah,
and most of the time they end up going to the military or they just start working. But then it comes to one of them who wished that they would have went back to school, but they listened to people that was in their neighborhood.
I wish I would have went to the military or found a way to, because I did go to take the ASVAB and all that, and I got caught up in the medical thing, and it was like, oh, did you have asthma? And then the whole asthma thing, like, kind of threw me off, and I got disqualified. But had I known or had I actually listened to the recruiter, then I wouldn't have failed into the trap. But I mean, everything that worked out everything worked out for a reason. But if I could go back and do it, I think I would have went to the military like myself, though. I ain't gonna lie. But Because I mean, school not for everybody. And then once you get to a certain age where maybe you feel like, all right, I could focus on my books. Then the military, you or certain companies give you avenues to go back to school or get tuition reimbursement. So if I think if I could go back and do it differently, it was going to be the Marine Corps, but I think I probably would have went Air Force, something less, you know, dangerous.
The maybe more and more we
Coast
talk,
Guard or something like that.
The more and more we talk, now I figure out why we here in this space and why us hosting together was meant to be. I was supposed to go to the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And for the same reason, I got disqualified for having asthma.
Yeah.
And my thing was, I was like, okay, no one told me that I wasn't supposed to say that, mm-hmm. number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm thinking I'm dealing with the government, so you're going to know my medical records by my Social Security number. Mm-hmm. So if I lie, it's going to make it even worse.
So my thing was, I told my recruiter that I smoke weed. And he was cool because he went out of his way to tell me things to do in order to still pass the drug test. He told me, you know, you need to drink some water, you need to go ride a treadmill. Like, even that night that they had me in the hotel waiting to go to MAPS or whatever it's called, I think it's called MAPS.
MAPS, yeah.
He was like, maybe be on a treadmill for like an hour or two. I'm not on a treadmill, like a whole hour.
Hour, man.
He was. I needed to sweat. Because whatever drug test he gave me, he said that my TH levels was high. He's like, I ain't never seen a man high before. I was like, my nigga, I smoke. You know what I'm saying? So he was just like, you need to get it down to like at least a 7. I was at like 34.
What?
Yeah. So I don't know. I ended up passing. I think it was low enough for me to get through. So. That was my main thing I was concerned with, or I was scared about going into the process, that I didn't want them to know I smoked weed.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't even what got me disqualified.
Right.
It was the whole asthma thing. And I was like, damn. I was like, all right. But that was when Bush sent everybody to Iraq the second time.
Yeah, that was not a good time, though.
So... like I said, everything happened for a reason. So that was just God saving me, because ain't no telling if I'd be here or not.
Well,
if I was here, what kind of mental state would I be in? You know what I'm saying? So.
And that's what I was thinking about. I was mad when they disqualified me. I was like, I went through all this for nothing.
Yeah, I had to find something to do with my life after that. I had to figure out, like, I'm about to go into the Marines. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to be a jarhead. I had it all figured out. You know what I'm saying? Because military is the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it ain't work out like that. So, I mean, it is what it is.
And then everybody else was going for the wrong reasons. I was going because my great-grandmother always wanted me to go to the Air Force. That was number one. And my grandfather was a MP in the Air Force. And... that's how she met him overseas.
Yeah, I was just going to secure a future.
Yeah, that too. It's a good foundation to build, but,
looking back now, I'm just like, I'm not patriotic at all. Like, I don't know why I decided that I wanted to go fight for this country.
Because you were young.
Yeah, I didn't know no better.
You needed, you know.
And they came to a few football games, and you know what I'm saying? Like, we've been watching you. Like, man, for real. Well, y'all probably sit it there, everybody. But I kind of wish, though, man, because I mean, Nevin, I probably would have ended up maybe playing football. Because my whole thing.
Could have played for Air Force again.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I didn't really think about that back then. You know what I'm saying? Now that I see now, I'm just like, hey, man, could have went totally different. But how many of those guys really go pro?
No, probably not. I don't know off the top of my head.
I think you got to get a like special permission, because you're enlisted into the service.
Yeah, but once you get out, it's a whole different story. Most people only do 4 years.
Yeah, but most of them guys that are on that football team are like freshmen. Like, they're still within their 4 year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, well, after your 4 years is up, did you miss your NFL window?
Yeah. Okay. Or if
who really came to recruit you? Who really watched you?
Or if you got to go on the side, man.
That too. So that's what I'm saying. So I think the only guy I ever remember being active military in NFL was the guy, his name Tillman.
Oh yeah, the one that got killed in the war.
And yeah, he's the only one that I could know of on the top of my head. I don't know of anybody else. I mean, unless they're like reserve or something like that. But I think for the most part, guys that are like that. That have NFL potential, I think they know not to go to a school like that. Because those guys, they're probably more so is like, yeah, I'm going to be a pilot or, you know, a sergeant or whatever. And so I just play football just because of the football team. You know what I'm saying? A lot of those games be trash, though. But
yeah, it's a good game, though.
The Navy probably got the best team. But Air Force and Army, all they do is run the ball. Wishbone office.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What that say right there? 55 minutes? Don't that go
out? We have 55. Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, so the only reason I knew people our age was going to the military is because they wanted a car. Mm-hmm. And at that time, everybody wanted a Dodge Charger. But guess what? None of them can even drive it. They all were overseas.
I knew it. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I was like, they went to the military to do that.
But when they came back, they had the car waiting for them.
But then most of them sold it. Because they went somewhere else. But it was just crazy.
They got exposure to other things, and they saw that the Dodge Charger wasn't the best car to have.
But a lot of people went to the military to get a car. And to have that financial stability. And I'm not going to lie. I was seeking the same thing and stability because
I mean, it's the best, easiest option. Because, honestly, who are they going to turn away?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But that questions, what did we go to school for 12 years for? What skills did we build in order to lead us into a better future? Why is the military always the first option?
I mean, they just taught
especially
us,
for our community.
They just taught us basic skills. They didn't teach us nothing.
Exactly. But they taught us the basics. But when I go and travel to other schools, I went to one school. Matter of fact, it was in VA. What was it? Woodbridge or Fairfax? One of them. But they had outside companies coming into the school, and the kids had to do projects with them. And then they went to go work for them.
Internship?
No, it was a job.
They got paid?
Yes.
Oh, all right, shit, all that.
But when we gonna have that? So I remember that night, I went back to my hotel and I cried because I felt like we're cheated out of education much more than everybody else. And it's really, really sad. And that's really how I started to digging in deeper when it comes to mentoring and finding all of my mentees different opportunities, because everywhere I used to travel for work, I used to pick up the phone and call different organizations that were in the area, whether it was African, white, whatever. I used to pick up the phone, call at least two or three people, get those resources, give them out, and stay connected with them. That's how I made a lot of my connections all over, is because I picked up the phone. I went to their meetings. I went to their events. I talked to people, all of that. And now when my mentees go out into the world or wherever they go, there's always somebody that could find them something. But it's, right. But it's about putting in the work. But we should have to work that hard. Whether it was me and 1,000 other people. Because their education is set up a whole different way. It's called a career track. And it's not you going to take this elective just to put this in your schedule, just to have a point. What are you going to learn from this?
You're going to be able to use this.
Exactly.
Afterwards.
It's a totally different route for them versus how it was for us. Because I feel like beyond anything past middle school, I probably only had one or two teachers and educators that, I call them educators, not teachers, educators that really made a difference that stuck with me for the rest of my life based on them just taking their time and teaching me something or telling me something that led me to something else.
I remember my seventh and eighth grade teachers, they still got an impact on me. I can still call their names to this day. I think that's where it started for me as far as school and taking school home.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that I had teachers that cared.
Right.
I wish I could find my seventh grade teacher right now, Miss Mobley, Mrs. Mobley from Ralph Johnson Bunch Middle School.
You look her up in the school system?
Nah, I try to look her up on Facebook, stuff like that.
No, you got to go to the school system. Yeah, that's in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, but I don't think she's still a teacher there, though.
Never know.
I'm pretty sure she's long retired.
Never know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Some people retire. Trust me, I seen my third grade teacher.
And then I had another teacher named Mrs. Franklin. Her favorite thing every day was, a man don't work, a man don't eat. She was my social studies teacher. And I had her class before lunchtime. And wow. She made sure we got that work done. And if you ain't had that work done, she was gonna make sure that you felt like it was. I mean, she wasn't not letting us go to lunch because that's a nice law.
Right.
But she damn sure made you feel like you was about to miss lunch that day. You know what I'm saying? A man don't work, a man don't eat.
It's funny. It's true.
So them, man, make sure, and that's another thing too, man. Y'all got teachers that show that they care, man. Please show them the utmost respect. Please don't talk bad about these people, because trust and believe, new teachers don't get paid a lot of money to deal with the stuff that they deal with. They do it out of love, I feel like. So keep in contact with them if you can, and you know, ask for advice. Because sometimes you're not always going to get the best advice from your parents either, too. So.
Nope. Not at all. But the educators are also your biggest resource as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing that we should have been told when we were in school is, where did your teacher go to college?
I have no clue.
Right. Where did your teacher grow up at? What like kind of connections do your teacher have to help you go do some type of community service? Because we know we all then rolled up, we did community service, but we ain't do no real community service.
Oh yeah, I had one teacher.
I folded pizza boxes for my house. I actually did it, but that didn't help me with anything. That was just to get by.
Community service hours?
Right. And Coach Moore used to always say, never cut corners. He said, because it's going to be that one time that you got to go back.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I think I might have just had somebody sign off on my paperwork.
Somebody signed off on the paperwork?
Yeah. I don't think I did no community service.
And you know how many seniors that you get? That's another thing, like with counselors, I don't understand. I've had so many parents like cry at meetings or come up to me and be like, I don't know what the counselor is doing. I've turned this paperwork in certain amount of times. They said they lost the paperwork. They say they did X, Y, and Z. You can't find the paperwork. Now you got to do it all over again?
Sometimes you miss out on opportunities like that, though.
It's crazy. It is real crazy. But last thing, where do you want to see this podcast go as far as helping children?
You asking me that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a no-brainer. I'm going to go take it to as far as we can take it. I mean,
I'm ready to hit the road.
Never. I mean, you never know who may hear, you know, this. Sometimes things resonate with people in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, It all just depends on the audience and who's listening and who's receiving. I mean, even if it just reached one person, I think the job is done. But of course, we want to reach millions. You know, we want to be able to change the whole generation.
Right.
So, generational changer would be where it should go.
The crazy thing is, I want to do a million kids march. Like, I had a march on Washington. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what it would take to
get a million
make
kids.
That happen. Man, and I know
you had to get Lil Boosie, everybody, it would have to be like some type of.
But it should be something that's supported by like school districts, everything. Like,
if it ain't, it gotta be somebody gotta be that Megan Thee Stallion. It got to be a name behind it for people. I mean, that's the sad part, though. That's the sad part. If it ain't nobody but like clout.
That's true, but it's not sad because those are people that the kids can relate to. We all had that. When I was in high school, I had 50 Cent. If you would have told me 50 Cent was at the National Mall, and it was free, I was coming. But at the same time, I just want it to be a place where children can be exposed to more things than just school. So whether there's hundreds of organizations there, that's what I'm talking about. Like one big, huge networking weekend, but also just having the kids there to express themselves, to say basically, this is what we see for our future. These are the type of things that we want.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is you have to focus like on youth-centered events. And I mean,
right,
they're not going to be big events like maybe how like they got Comic-Con and they got Freaknik, where we're all old enough to transport ourselves. And
I know that. But that's why I say it's going to fall on the parents. But I think that school districts and all that should be involved with something like that, too. Because this not only helps the schools, it helps the parents, it helps the students, and it helps the colleges and universities and the trade schools. Because everybody is not interested in going to college. And most people who are working the trade today will always have a craft that they can depend on outside of a degree. Don't get me wrong, it's good to get a degree. It's good to have a trade. But when you have a degree in the trade, or just a trade.
You always have somebody, something to fall back on.
Exactly.
You start your own business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Look at all the billionaires. Look at all of the people who own these big corporations. A lot of them didn't even finish school. Some of them probably didn't even finish the sixth grade. Mm-hmm. But that's for another research topic. But it happens. Because look at YouTube. You got kids on there reviewing toys. And they get paid millions.
Crazy. Crazy.
So you have to think about what works for you. Yeah. So we're going to leave it at that. The next one will be structured with a few topics. And I feel like I'm in a space where I'm being real creative right now. So I'm working on three different things, a social media book and a social media journal to help people who feel lost with social media. And then the biggest thing for my mentees is because I'm sick of doing emails every semester. So if I can put it in a book, give them challenges every couple of weeks, then that works for them. And any student can use that as well. So that's who we are. But I want to thank everyone who has ever supported this project from the beginning and all the way until, I guess, whenever it's passed over after me in the end, because this is a life work project. This isn't just something that's a collaboration, a one-time event. This is building and boosting the confidence of youth and students that are ready to be exposed. So I got a lot of podcasts to put together too. Yes, I do. from the previous ones. The devil tried to stop us on Mother's Day. I got that one out. I got half of that one out. So I'll be getting the other one up, and then I'll be getting this one posted as well. So
and happy belated Father's Day to all the fathers.
Oh, yeah. To all the fathers and soon to be fathers this year.
Yeah. Fathers are needed. Fathers are needed. Don't let nobody tell you otherwise. Fathers are needed.
And mother, stop saying that you are the mother and the father, because that don't work. I'm real sick of that. Like, that one right there, you can never do both. It will never work. Your voice alone doesn't have enough bass in it. And I've done had these challenges with people on Clubhouse. I've done had these challenges with people on Facebook about the other parent being more direct. Let's say the wife and the husband. The kid listens more to the wife than he does the husband, even though the father is there, so the mother doesn't agree that the father in his life matters. Yes, it does. It matters because he's there. It matters because he's relatable. It matters because he will show discipline. And sometimes sons won't play with their fathers like they will play with their mothers. Trust me, I know.
Not anymore.
Trust me, I know. My father looked like a giant when I was a kid. And when I looked up at him like that, I was looking real crazy. My mother, I tried. I would several times. But my father, it's a no. And still to this day, it's a no. So that's how we're going to go with that. And we will see you all next time for the next podcast. Have a good week. I'll be working on posting the other things so you can hear things behind this. And I'm going to start calling them bonuses. They're going to be short clips, but I'm going to call them bonuses to put on the podcast. So follow us on TikTok, number one, because I love TikTok, at Rose Youth Radio. You can follow me on Facebook. Just don't stalk me now. I'll post that underneath of the YouTube channel for the posting, but we will talk to you soon.